This is the Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about grasslands. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. An iconic species is being reintroduced in India, and ecologists hope it will boost efforts to save and preserve India's vast grasslands. 70 years ago, cheetahs were declared extinct in India. Hunting and habitat loss caused them to disappear from the country. They're the only large predator to go extinct since India's independence in 1947, so reintroducing them was a matter of national pride. Finally, in September, 8 cheetahs were loaded into a cargo plane in Southwest Africa and flown overnight from Namibia to India. They were released into Kuno National Park in central India, and with that, the world's fastest land mammal was back. Namrata Kalachalam has this story.
M.K. Ranjit Sen has been trying to bring cheetahs back to India for 50 years. He was India's first director of wildlife preservation, and he's in his 80s now. He says the scientific, legal, and logistical challenges were immense. The effort, called Project Cheetah, seemed doomed.
You do not know the kind of setbacks I've had. And the whole thing, it was as if it was jinxed. Literally, I believed it was jinxed.
Conservationists were trying to bring in cheetahs from Africa, but in 2013, the country's Supreme Court ruled that African cheetahs were too different from India's own Asiatic cheetahs to be introduced here. But in 2020, the court agreed to allow a version of Project Cheetah to move forward. Ranjit Sen was there to see the 8 cheetahs released into Kuno National Park in the state of Madhya Pradesh.
I'm not ashamed to say, but I cried. I wept. Yes, and so did one or two others who were with me. Yeah, and we hugged each other like children.
Ranjit Sen says that Project Cheetah, well, it's about much more than the cheetah. The cheetah's a symbol, a mascot, to build public support for grasslands. In India, millions of people rely on grasslands to graze their livestock. And this habitat plays a key role in trapping carbon, which is important for managing climate change. Grasslands are also home to hundreds of other types of plants and animals. So, if you save the grasslands, you save a host of less flashy species that depend on the habitat. For example, the four-horned antelope.
This blessed little animal evolved in India, never went out of India, never even walked over to Sri Lanka. It's our baby. And it is on the verge of extinction, and who cares? Godfatherless. And it's the ideal prey for a cheetah.
But of course, not everyone thinks we need cheetahs to save the Indian grasslands. What's needed is a change in how we view the grasslands.
Much of our grasslands today in India are categorized as wastelands in the Wasteland Atlas of India. Now, it doesn't require cheetahs from Africa for us to change that categorization.
That's wildlife biologist Ravi Chalam. He says if conservationists want to save the grasslands, the government should stop designating them as wastelands. This not very flattering designation has long been given to anything that's not a forested area. And it's a category that makes it easier for developers to build big projects on grassland ecosystems.
The ecologist in me bristles at the term wasteland. Land is wasted by human action. By nature, no land is a wasteland.
Ravi says we should look beyond cheetahs and recognize the grasslands for what they are, a valuable ecosystem essential for people, plants, and animals. By focusing on so-called charismatic species like cheetahs, he says we risk running a glorified beauty contest with nature. And other experts agree with this point of view. Abhi Vanek is an animal ecologist who studies grasslands. He points to other grassland predators that get sidelined because of personal biases.
In other countries, the wolf is seen as an important predator of the landscape. And here we have wolves everywhere. And yet, because we have larger predators like the tiger and the leopard, the wolves have been ignored. but the wolves are the true kings of the savanna ecosystem.
The Indian wolf is one of the most endangered in the world. It's smaller than the Western wolf, but no less striking. I wanted to see these kings of the Indian savanna for myself, so Abhi put me in touch with a conservation group called the Grasslands Trust. Their founder, Mihir Godbole, met me in the city of Pune. It's in the western state of Maharashtra, 3 hours from where I live in Mumbai. It's tucked into the foothills of a mountain range called the Western Ghats. The wolves live on the outskirts of Pune. We drive out to find them.
So there are hyena pugmarks here.
Oh, there are.
Let me get out.
We see hyena prints in the mud.
This is fresh wolf scat.
Oh. And wolf droppings, which seem to be made up of undigested sheep wool.
This is quite fresh.
Where is it?
Just right here. Oh, wow.
While we drive, Mihir tells me about the Grasslands Trust. The group works with the State Forest Department to identify and restore degraded grasslands. They also work with local communities and stress three key points about grasslands.
First is biodiversity, which is present here right now.
They focus on the vibrant ecosystem here, the eagles, gazelles, lizards, and much more.
Second is livelihoods.
The shepherds who live here depend on these grasslands to feed their sheep and goats. Better grasslands mean healthier animals.
And third and most important right now, which is the topic everywhere, is carbon sequestration.
Grasslands store a large amount of carbon below ground, protecting the atmosphere from this harmful greenhouse gas. It's a compelling case, and yet the grasslands and the species that depend on it are rapidly disappearing. We haven't seen wolves all day. As evening falls, Mihir takes me to meet the people who know these grasslands better than anybody. The Dungar community, nomadic herders. We eat dinner by their tent, where they will camp for roughly another week. I talk to Sampath and Satish, two brothers in their 30s. Their father was a shepherd. Their grandfather was a shepherd, and almost certainly the generations before that. In the past decade, they say everything has changed. They've seen the grasslands slowly vanishing, the cities expanding, grasslands are replaced with development projects. Satish says,
there were acres and acres of open plains. No barbed wire fences, no walled compound, nothing of that sort was there.
Now their sheep sometimes eat discarded plastic or drink from polluted streams. These days, the Dungar community faces so many threats that many shepherds barely make enough money to survive.
Urbanization has crept into villages and nothing of nature remains anymore. At times, I am troubled by the thought that our traditional business of sheep rearing is now coming to an end. Is there no future for us?
It's the type of question I've unfortunately heard before. As grasslands disappear, the people and animals who depend on them are struggling. Whether it's here in the lush, post-monsoon grasslands of Pune, or the dry desert grassland of a state called Rajasthan, it's another place I visited recently, taking in the mix of scrubland, rolling sand dunes, and desert plains.
Just see on the left side of the raptor. Okay. You will see it in open grassland.
My guide helped me spot a massive 4-foot-tall bird called the Great Indian Bustard. There are only about 150 left in the wild. From a distance, I can see its slender white neck and brown wings. In the past 10 years, this area has transformed into a renewable energy hub. Rajasthan is now India's leader in solar energy capacity. This is good news for tackling our global climate crisis, but it's bad news for the Great Indian Bustard. Many of these birds are dying off because they keep colliding with high-voltage transmission lines, lines that carry solar and wind energy to other parts of the state. Meanwhile, the bird and the local shepherds are seeing open grasslands disappear under a sea of solar panels. Grasslands are vital to India's future, as a habitat for species, as a place to fight climate change, a place to graze livestock. What will it take to preserve them for generations to come? The environmentalists who championed the reintroduction of the cheetah hope it will be more than a symbolic step in terms of saving this space. Ranjit Singh, the octogenarian conservationist who worked for decades to bring cheetahs back to India, says their reintroduction is just the first step.
A cheetah is a means to an end. It's not an end in itself.
The real work of rehabilitation and restoration and reintroduction starts now.
For The Pulse, I'm Namrata Kalachalam in Mumbai.